I'll be honest with you. When it comes to Christmas, I can't wait. Oh, it's not because it's a day closer to spring, although I'll admit I look forward to getting through the cold winter months. It's not because there are a few days off around Christmas and New Year's with a different pace. It's not even the extra treats around the house and every other house you visit. I can't wait for Christmas because I can't wait to dig into presents. I like being surprised, and I like giving presents as a surprise. My wife says she doesn't really need anything, but I know better. So I like to shop for her, and I can't wait for her to open up the presents. Sometimes I get so excited about what I'm giving that I have to refrain from giving it to her early. I just can't wait. It can be hard for little ones to wait, too. They get all excited about Christmas. David thinks that when it snows, it's Christmas time. He can't wait either. I thought you might enjoy a few letters to Santa. Dear Santa, when you come to my house, there will be cookies for you. But if you are really hungry, you can use our phone and order a pizza to go. That's a place I'm going to be at on Christmas Eve. Here's another one. Dear Santa, I want a puppy. I want a playhouse. Thank you. I've been good most of the time. Sometimes I'm wild. And a 4-year-old wrote this. Dear Santa, I'll take anything because I haven't been that good. Here's another one. Dear Santa, I'm not asking for a lot. Here's my list. The Etch-a-Sketch Animator, 2 packs of number 2 pencils, Crayola Fat Markers, and the big gift, my own color TV. Well, maybe you could drop the pencils. I don't want to be really selfish. Are you still waiting for some gift on your wish list? Someone recounting wanting a Rock'em Sock'em robot for Christmas. I wanted one of those too. My friend had one, and I thought they were cool. How many of you had one or got one for your kids? This guy wrote notes and stuck them all over the house as hints. He cut out pictures, put them on his mother's bed, wrote and mailed letters to Santa. He even tried to be extra nice before Christmas to his sisters. When Christmas morning arrived, he raced to the tree to look for a box with his name on it. He was really disappointed because, like his 4 sisters, he got footy pajamas that his mother had made. A recent survey revealed that 40% of online shoppers who have to wait for 3 seconds for a retail website to pop up on their browser will end up going to another online store. People can't wait. How about you? When it comes to shopping and Christmas, can you wait? What are you waiting for this Christmas? What do you hope to receive? Are you looking for something in particular? Is there something that is really hot that you hope to get? In Luke's Gospel, we read in the end of chapter 2 that there were 2 different individuals who had been waiting for Christmas. The first is a man named Simeon. The second is a woman named Anna. Did you know they're part of the Christmas story? Did you know they come before the wise men? Yes, we don't find them on any of our Christmas cards. We rarely hear about them. We don't even see them appear in our Christmas plays. Nor do we sing songs about them in their role of the unfolding drama. We find out, though, from the Bible that they were waiting. They were waiting for the person of Christmas. As a matter of fact, the entire Jewish nation had been waiting. For hundreds of years, there had been words of prophecy given about the coming Messiah. Isaiah spoke about it some 600 years before the Messiah was born. Listen to his words in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He wasn't the only prophet. There's Micah. He writes in chapter 5 and verse 2, But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Jews had been waiting for this Messiah for a long time. Throughout the history of mankind, God had revealed to individuals written for posterity in Scripture that a Messiah would come. Then, for 400 years, God was silent. He spoke through no one. He spoke to no one. He seemed to be absent. Yet all the while, he was waiting for the sending of his son Jesus, the Messiah, who would save his people from their sins. Simeon was waiting. He had been for a long time. Luke tells us he was waiting for the comfort of Israel. It literally means he was alert to his appearance, ready to welcome him. Not a day went by that Simeon didn't wake up and wonder if this would be the day the Messiah would arrive. He was eager for his appearing. Our passage tells us that Simeon was righteous. No one could accuse him of wrongdoing. He wasn't perfect, but he had a good reputation before everyone else. He wanted to always do what was right, what God wanted. Simeon was also devout. That means he was loyal as a religious follower of God, wanting to do what was right before God. He wanted his relationship with God to be strong, so he was devoted to obeying God. Unlike many people, wondering if the Messiah would ever come, Simeon knew he would. Israel had been ruled by Rome and led by a cruel king named Herod. They needed the Messiah. They needed spiritual help. The Bible goes on to mention that Simeon had a visit one day by God's Spirit. The Spirit told Simeon that he would see the Messiah before he died. Verse 26 tells us, "It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ." What a great promise given to Simeon. He knew that before he took his last breath on this earth, he would see the promised Messiah, whom they had waited hundreds of years for. So he set about to wait. When I was growing up, I heard a promise on more than one occasion from my mom, "You wait till your father gets home." Maybe such a promise was made to you too. Let me tell you though, that was one event I could wait a long time for. Simeon was told to wait because he would see the Messiah. How about that? Like the other Jews, he was anxious for the comfort this Messiah would bring, but not for the same reason many other Jews waited and wanted comfort. They were hoping this Messiah would conform and comfort them in their oppression from Roman rule. The Bible gives us, though, the reason Jesus came. In Luke 19:10, it says, "He came to seek and save the lost, not overthrow a government." Many people today want comfort. They're going through financial or physical or emotional or spiritual turmoil, and they are desperate for comfort. Maybe you're here today and you're waiting for this Messiah to bring you comfort. Maybe you're waiting, but you don't know for what. Maybe you're experiencing loneliness or depression. Maybe you're feeling insignificant, like no one cares, or that you're a failure in some way. The Messiah has come to bring you comfort. For Simeon, this was like no other day. Just as the Holy Spirit had visited him previously, somehow he communicated with Simeon that he should go down to the temple. He wasn't a religious worker and had no real need to go down there on that day, but prompted by the Holy Spirit, he obeyed and went. Perhaps he wondered on the way why he had felt that urge. It doesn't say that the Holy Spirit told him what to expect, just to go. But then, maybe he had a feeling that today was the day he would see the Messiah. I'm sure that when he arrived and passed through the threshold of the temple, he saw other people there fulfilling religious obligations, whether as worshipers or leading in worship. Joseph and Mary were there as well, not for the same reasons as Simeon. They didn't know one another from Adam. They weren't told by the Spirit to go and meet a man there. Unlike the shepherds who were told to go to Bethlehem and look for a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, Simeon was just prompted to go to the temple. Mary and Joseph were there because it was customary by Old Testament law to take the firstborn on the 40th day to fulfill the requirements of the law in dedication to God through a rite of purification for both he and his mother Mary. Have you ever tried to find someone you know in a crowd? You may remember Where's Waldo books from about 10 years ago. Among the detail of a picture, you had to find Waldo. To pass time while donating blood, one of the centers that I donated at had them on the ceiling. It can be difficult trying to find someone you know in a crowd. How about knowing you're supposed to be at a place to find someone you don't know? There weren't name tags or cardboard placards pointing to the Messiah. As many medieval paintings depict, there was no halo encircling his little head. In some way, as they approached one another in passing, the Spirit of God nudged Simeon to recognize this child to be the Messiah that he had been waiting for. In that instant, he began to give God praise, for this was the long-expected Messiah, the one who would deliver his people from the tyranny of Roman oppression, but more importantly, from the bondage of sin that had enslaved mankind since the fall of Adam and Eve. Why no one else took notice, we aren't told. But no one else rushed over to join in. No phone calls were made to the local media, alerting them of this rare and long-awaited event now fulfilled. We aren't even told that the religious leaders dropped their duties to rush over and behold in wonder the Messiah. They too had been waiting, but not for this. Like many today who are still waiting, they missed his coming. Perhaps some did come over, but walked away shaking their heads, muttering that this infant child couldn't be the Messiah. He didn't fit their profile. What Simeon had been promised, indeed, what had been promised by the prophets of old, had now come true. If you are here today and have been waiting, wait no longer, for the Savior has come. Our Christmas story reveals someone else who waited. Her name is Anna. She is one, at hearing the commotion and praise of Simeon, rushed over to also join him. She had served in the temple a long time, decades. She never left the temple, but worshipped there day and night. She had been waiting for the same person, the redemption of Israel. Why Simeon looked for comfort, Anna looked for forgiveness and redemption. It has to do with buying. We are the captives of sin. The Messiah would buy us from being sin's slaves by dying for us. He paid our debt, one we couldn't pay. That was the price required, and Anna gave praise to God because forgiveness was offered to those who believe in the Messiah. She waited for the one who would forgive. Does some of you need comfort today? The Messiah can give it to you. Does some of you need forgiveness? The Messiah can give that to you as well. What are you waiting for? What are you wanting this Christmas? This is the greatest gift that you can receive. Do you need to once again experience Emmanuel, God with us? Look no further than to Jesus, this babe whose birth we celebrate. Do you need to experience his forgiveness? You can have it today. Like Simeon, maybe you need to become a mover. Our passage notes that he was moved by the Spirit. Maybe the Spirit is wanting to move you into a first-time relationship with God, or perhaps into a deeper relationship with him this Christmas. When moved, they didn't wait any longer. They obeyed immediately and were blessed. Mary was a mover by humbly submitting to the plan of God to bear the Messiah. Joseph was moved to take Mary as his wife and raise the Christ child as his own. The shepherds were movers. When they were instructed by the angel to go into Bethlehem to see the Savior, they went. The wise men were movers, who traveled a great distance to find the newborn King. People today want to silence the message of Christmas. They only want happy holidays or a winter solstice celebration. Take Jesus out of Christmas, and there is no merriness in the holiday, nor is there a happy new year. Christmas is truly a time of celebration. At the very first Christmas celebration, we are told that after her visit with the Christ child, Anna spoke about the child she had been privileged to see to everyone who had been waiting for the redemption of Israel, because he had arrived. Do you need the forgiveness only he can offer? Many years ago, there was a wealthy man who shared a passion for collecting art with his son. They owned priceless works from many of the masters. As winter approached, War engulfed the nation, and the young man was called off to serve his country in the war. Only a few short weeks passed when the father received a telegram noting that his son had died in combat. Distraught and lonely, the father faced the upcoming Christmas with anguish and sadness. The joy of the season had vanished with the death of his son. On Christmas morning, there was a knock on the door that awakened the old man. As he walked down the lonely hall, the masterpieces reminded him of his son who would not be coming home. As he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier holding a large package. The soldier indicated that he had been a friend of his son and was the one who he had rescued when his son died. He asked to come inside because there was something he wanted to show the old man. The soldier mentioned that he was an artist and gave the old man the package. As the father tore away the wrapping, there was a portrait of his son in the striking detail. Though it would never be considered a masterpiece, the father was overcome with emotion and hung the portrait over the fireplace, pushing away millions of dollars worth of art. That Christmas, he sat and gazed at the portrait. It became his most prized possession, eclipsing any interest he had in his art collection that galleries would have paid handsomely for. That spring, the old man died, and the art world waited anxiously for the upcoming auction. According to the will, the art collection would be sold on Christmas Day. Collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. The auction began with a painting that was not on anyone's list. It was the painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid, but the room was silent. The auctioneer asked if anyone would give $100, yet no one spoke. Finally, someone impatiently spoke up to the rest that they didn't care about that painting. They wanted to bid on the real art. The auctioneer indicated that this painting had to be sold first. Finally, a neighbor spoke up and offered $10, stating that he knew the boy and that's all the money he had. No other bids were placed, and the auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, gone," and the gavel fell. Cheering began, and someone in the back indicated they could now get on to the real treasures, but the auctioneer announced the auction was over. They were all stunned. "What do you mean, closed? We didn't come here for a picture of the old man's son. We came to bid on millions of dollars worth of art." "It's very simple," replied the auctioneer. "According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the Son gets it all." God the Father showed how much He loved us by sending His Son Jesus, who died for us. Only through taking Him can we get it all. You are invited to a Christmas birthday party, and He wants you to have a present. He wants to give you Himself so that you can have eternal life. Will you take Him if you haven't? Will you be moved this year to respond to the Spirit's prompting to go and give praise for this one who brings comfort and forgiveness to those who need it, and by asking will receive it? Like Anna, will you be a messenger and tell others about the forgiveness we have in Christ? Let's pray.